All right, we're live.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
What's up?
Another two-man show. No John again this week. I think he's actually live doing a different podcast right now.
Yeah.
He's two-timing us.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It happens.
Sure.
What's new with you, Paul?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just tired. Just tired.
That's not new. Nothing new there.
That's not new. No.
Did you fall into the Oscar stuff?
No, I can't stand the Oscars.
No. Okay. All right. I'm trying to there were some good awards. Godzilla minus one.
Okay.
Got a W there. I can't remember what category it was. Probably like
special effects
or something like that. Yeah,
sure.
I don't remember. I wasn't watching it. I was just scrolling through Twitter.
Sure.
I played way too much Final Fantasy. Boy and the Heron took animation, which I was pretty surprised because I thought Elemental was pretty good.
Okay, sure. That what else was in that category? If you can remember,
there was a foreign film about robots that I haven't seen. It was pretty small, but that was in there.
Okay.
I don't remember what was in the animated category. Oscars animated 2024. Let's find out. Here we go. Nimona. The Netflix show movie. Robot Dreams, that was the one I was talking about. And then, Across the Spider-Verse, which that's another one, and I'm surprised it got beat.
I haven't seen The Boy and the Heron. I have a cynical idea. Did it just win because it's Studio Ghibli? Like, is that just what happened? It just wins automatically?
No.
Is it good?
That rarely happens.
Is it? Okay. Because I haven't heard anybody talk about The Boy and the Heron.
I heard plenty of people talking about it. It was getting great review scores, so it's not a total shock. But it's usually if Pixar is in it, Pixar wins.
Oh, sure. Pixar hasn't had anything for a while, right? Like nominated?
I think they have. I just don't think they've had anything like super
huge.
Amazing. But I thought Elemental was pretty good, so.
Mm-hmm. Would you have chosen Elemental over Boy and Heron? Boy and the Heron?
I haven't seen Boy and the Heron. I missed that because that kind of came out around the holiday time and I was up in Calgary.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Trying to see what was the last few Pixar ones because. Yeah, see, the last few weren't major like Lightyear. No one's talking about Lightyear. Turning Red. Turning Red's okay, but still wasn't a huge splash. I personally love Luca, but I don't think anyone cares about Luca.
Luca was great. That was
Soul, Onward. Like, these are all like in pandemic ones that no one really gave much of an interest in, you know? So.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Hmm.
That was the Oscars. I hear Boy and the Heron's coming back to theaters down here. So I'm going to try my best to go see it this time.
Okay. What was the best movie or whatever?
Oppenheimer.
Sure. Okay.
Oppenheimer won a bunch of stuff. I think Anatomy of the Fall won a bunch of stuff. Poor Things won a bunch of stuff. I think those are some of the big winners.
Okay. I have no respect at all for the Oscars, so I couldn't care less.
Out of the best picture nominations, I watched Naiad when I was on vacation back in January. I recommend that movie. It's on Netflix. That's a pretty good one.
Okay.
And in the chat, they're confirming best visual effects for minus one.
Visual effects,
I was seeing like some funny tweets being like, man, this person, it only took them 46 years, but Godzilla finally got an Oscar. Good for them.
Yeah. It was a pretty incredible movie.
Absolutely. For sure.
I never did go see it in its second run in black and white. I didn't think Godzilla Minus One Minus Color or whatever it was called.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't either. I usually don't do that. I remember they did the same thing with like Mad Max, Fury Road.
Yeah. No, I have no interest in that.
In other animation news, Invincible's back tonight, or it's already out.
Yeah, the like half season thing, right? Continues, the like mini special or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch that after we're done recording for sure.
Nice.
All right, but let's talk about some video games. That's why everyone's here, because this is the Top Down Perspective for March 14th. Oh, yeah, it's Pi Day.
Yeah, happy 3.14.
Yeah, happy Pi Day. I'm Sean Booker.
I'm Paul Fleck.
And Paul, did you play anything?
Not really. I restarted Rebirth again.
What?
Or I picked it back up again last night.
I was like, don't do that. I spent
a few days off of it. I was starting to burn myself out, so I was like, I'm going to take a few days and do just other stuff. And it was nice. It was nice coming back to it and just being like, oh, I'm not completely annoyed by every little thing I have to do. So this is fun again. So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. So just like our weekly check-in, where are you at in the game now?
I'm starting to climb Mount Corel. So I did all the stuff I could in what was that area? The, oh my God, why am I blanking on the name?
I don't even remember.
Costa del Sol. You know, after you do the town stuff and then you open up kind of the like, I don't know, maybe like 3 kilometers span beside it along the beach and stuff.
Yeah, that's a weird chunk because you can't finish that area before Mount Corel. Yeah, like it's different than the previous two areas. But that's where the gym is. Did you do all the gym stuff?
Yeah. There's only like one thing that you do 3 times or whatever. So in the
gym, that's what it was in Remake as well. It was pull-ups. This one's worse though, because of all the like DualSense, the
haptic feedbacks.
Yeah. Just with the triggers, like, yeah, man, this one's how long did it take you? Were you on it for a while or did you breeze through it?
You're talking about like the final challenge, right? Cause the other ones were like one shots for the most part.
Yeah.
So I have this weird problem where anytime it started on L1, I just had to reset it because my left finger doesn't work on L2 the way it's supposed to for like, it's specifically the one where you have to push L2 down halfway and then like crunch it down after the bar fills up.
Okay.
I have like no dexterity to do that in my left hand. So it just was literally like, if I'm not starting on R1, I just can't do it. I physically cannot do
that. That's another reason why it's harder is they switch up the pattern. Like they'll flip it on you, which is so insanely devious because you'll be sitting there, you're stumbling through it. You keep screwing up and you're like, well, I guess I got the muscle memory. I should be getting better. And then they're like, flip the entire thing. Muscle memory gone. And it's not like a back forth, like 1-2, 1-2, 50-50. It's just, I don't think there's a pattern. It's just like completely random because
it's just random. Yeah.
I did it for so long with R1 starting it and then it switched to L1. And I was like, what? Let's hit retry. And then that is super annoying. I think I did finish it on L1, even though I learned the muscle memory on R1. But then for whatever reason, every time I failed and restarted it, it just kept going with L1. So I was like, all right, well, let's just go. And the intro is just long enough where it's like, just fucking start. Let's just fucking do the sit-ups.
The final challenge against Jules is somewhat difficult, mainly because you actually just can't stop going as fast as you can at some point because he just continuously is going. Yeah. So once you like get the speed up, you're just like, you're either in it, and if you fuck up, you just gotta restart. I think I did it about 4 times before I got
it. Oh, wow, that's a very impressive. I think the pull-up was like that as well. It's been a while, but I think it was like, you screw up even once, you might as well retry. I spent
an hour on the pull-ups. That broke my brain last time.
I don't remember how long I took on the pull-ups. This one took me probably like 30 minutes or so.
Sure.
And like, I had to like turn the volume off. Cause I was like, I just need to like focus. I was this close to breaking out the DualSense Edge and being like, I'll use the back buttons. That way when it needs me to like hit the R2 over and over again, there's no resistance. So I'll just be able to slam through that. But I was like, it is not worth bringing like another finger into this. Like, I'll just do it right. But I was so close because I was just like,
that's
holy
funny.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was pretty frustrating, but it wasn't the worst, I would say. And I think a big portion of that is because I took some time off of the game and I was just like fresh coming back. I wasn't annoyed. I was playing it like every night. And at some point I was starting to be like, I want to play some other games. I want to watch like some TV shows or so. I want to do anything other than that. So I did that and it felt really good.
I had probably 9-10 hour session on Sunday where I played just like all that. It was pretty nuts. I did take a few days off. I can't talk about why. I'll talk about next week. But right now in Rebirth, I am in Gongaga, I think is how they're saying it. It's basically the fourth open world chunk.
Okay.
But similarly to the third one, which I don't even remember the name of the third area, you can do a chunk of it. Then there's like a big story spot and then it opens up fully and I'm in that part now.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What's also weird about the third one is you can't do everything. Even once it's like fully open and stuff, you can do all but two. And they literally say to you, you should just come back later. And even the characters are like,
oh,
what? No, what? What? Okay. I guess we'll come back later. So okay. That one I have weird. Like 95% of it done. So eventually I'll come back and do that, I guess.
Sure. That's pretty much it for me, though.
Right on. Other than Rebirth, I've been playing Dead Island 2. I've actually been playing this for like a few weeks and stuff now. It was just, it's like my co-op game I'm doing right now, but I was just playing it in such little fits and starts. I'm pretty much near the end of it now, though, so I wanted to finally talk about it.
Okay.
I think Dead Island 2 is like really good, really fun. I think it looks really great. It's on Game Pass, so if people are interested now, I think it came to Game Pass like last week, maybe 2 weeks ago or something like that. So it's kind of just great, and it's like four-player co-op. Like me and my buddy are just, we have like a public game set up, so like randos will just kind of join us, and that's a lot of fun.
Oh.
And you know, it does the kind of the Dead Rising thing of like, here's a bunch of like weird ass kind of weapons that you like strap together. So now you have a lightning sword that you're fighting. It is primarily melee focused. You do get guns. But I don't know, you run out of bullets pretty quick, and then you're going to end up going back to your knife sooner or later. And they have like Wolverine claws you can equip and stuff like that. What surprised me is, so I played the demo for this back at PAX East last year, and their demo was this boardwalk fair kind of area where you end up fighting a zombie clown at the end of it.
Okay.
So the whole time I'm playing through Dead Island 2, I was just saying to my friend, like, oh, I know at some point we're going to fight a zombie clown. I know, you know, it's going to come sooner or later. You don't fight that clown until like 75% through the story.
Wow.
Which,
okay,
I am so shocked that this demo at PAX, it was a public demo. It wasn't like, you know, I had to go to like a behind closed doors. This was the one that was like on the show floor. That was the demo they were giving, is here's this chunk from 75% into the story. And it's not like it like tells you much of the story. But I guess that was just one of their more like special bosses or whatever. I don't know. I was just kind of surprised. Usually the demos are like the beginning of the game, maybe an hour into the game, so that you're not doing like tutorial stuff on the demo, because that would be kind of boring at like a PAX. But yeah, I thought that was kind of unique and weird.
Yeah, because the beginning of that game, like the first major area, is like that hotel with the ballroom fight with the poison guy, right?
Yeah.
The poison zone.
Yeah.
In the pool area and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know you had played this game.
Yeah, I played it when it came out. I don't think it's very good.
Oh, I think it's pretty fun. I like the combat and all the abilities. I like the kind of card system where you can like add modifiers to your actual character.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. Also, maybe the best drop kick I've ever seen in a video game.
Drop like, kick's pretty good. Yeah.
You jump, hit R3, and your whole character just 90 degrees slams and they go flying. Like, oh, it's so satisfying. And like, I was playing this at like far enough intervals away from each other that it was like, I would just forget about the drop kick just enough to be like, oh, well, this fucking rocks every time I came back to it. And then with the modifiers, you can be like, every time you drop kick an enemy, they explode or they light on fire and stuff. And like, oh, I do think it is one of the
drop kick is really powerful.
It's so good.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. And the game knows that because a lot of the side quests are like, why don't you knock these like zombies off the edge? So you're just drop kicking them like off the edge of a building over and over again. And you end up having to do it like too many times because it's like do it to 16 different zombies and you don't have enough stamina to just keep doing it. But it is just still very enjoyable to just like send them launching off something.
Yeah. And it does the standard Dead Island thing of like creating weapons and whatever. Like, yeah, it's all there. If you like Dead Island stuff, it's good. I think probably if you're playing with a friend, you'll find it funner than I did. I found it kind of a slog, so I stopped playing it.
Yeah, I think it's a good addition for Game Pass. Because I was playing it before it hit Game Pass and we were still getting randos joining us. So people are playing that game. And that's just fun when like someone jumps into your game and whatnot. I also have the edition that like with the DLC edition, whatever it's called, the gold edition, the upgrade edition, blah, blah, blah. The DLC is super weird because it's you're basically you go into some like it. I have to assume it's a cult. But it's these people who have learned to like live as just a head. I don't know if they're like partially zombie, but they're conscious. They're like humans. They're not turned into a zombie, but you're like going around and getting their heads and putting them like back on the body and the body's like absorbing. The set designs are like super cool. What's really weird though is we kind of played that as soon as it opened up to us, thinking, oh, I bet it'll have like some cool weapons in there that we can then bring back into the main game. The DLC actually stopped our progression before we could finish it. I don't know how many missions I have left in the DLC and we can't get back. And all I can assume is, do I need to like finish the Dead Island 2 game before you'll let me finish the DLC? Like, I don't know. It doesn't explain anything like that, but I just thought that was pretty, again, unique. I haven't seen that in a game before. Not that I'm enjoying that fact, but just kind of strange in a unique way. But I do think that's weird. Pretty cool set of levels and stuff that you go through. They have some cool areas in there.
Cool.
And you get a crossbow, so you do get some cool weapons.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, so that's basically all I can talk about that I've been playing this week. So why don't we do some news? There's a whole bunch of it. On the good end of
bunch happened.
Yeah, a bunch happened.
Yeah.
I think these are roughly in...
in order here? Probably. Oh, yeah. This happened like literally when we stopped recording last week or maybe the day after. This was fresh.
This post is on from Friday.
Yeah, this was fresh after we had talked.
Activision QA workers form the largest U.S. video game union yet. 600 members across Texas, California, and Minnesota. I don't remember what the previous largest one was, but... and I wonder if this includes Ravensoft, because that's the Activision one that had done a union, like the first one that had done a union earlier on. And that was like a big deal within Activision. And now this is the broader company as a whole. Let's see. It joined. Here we go. Last year, Microsoft voluntarily recognized a union of 300 QA workers at ZeniMax Online. It joined the union at Blizzard Albany and Raven Software. Video game labor unions are picking up. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
So, yeah. And Microsoft actually voluntarily recognized that they didn't even have to fight for it. They're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I think they kind of said that during their whole, like, when they were buying Activision, is that they would kind of remain neutral. They would acknowledge all the previous ones and then kind of remain neutral going forward. And that seems to be kind of the playbook is voluntarily recognize it. You seem like the good guy. But then it comes down to like the actual bargaining of whether or not they like agree pen to paper, anything that the union puts forward. So I guess we'll have to see. Now that I think about it, I don't even remember if much changed from Ravensoft. I don't remember hearing about it. Not that I wasn't looking specifically close, but that is something I should look into.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping the no news is good news is kind of the thing that's going on there. We haven't heard anything because people aren't being laid off or like harassed currently. So,
yeah. It also would have been interesting when Microsoft like laid off like the 1,900 people, whatever it was, like last month. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of those people were like union members at Raven or from Blizzard Albany and whatnot. Like, but then again, we didn't really hear specifics on who it was. That was kind of left up in the air, or it wasn't reported on. Maybe we'll learn more in the future.
Yeah, hopefully.
2 days after that was Mario Day.
Yeah.
How did you celebrate Mario Day? March 10th, Mario 10th. Day. Come on.
What the hell did I do? I think I played a horror game.
I played like 10 remember. Hours of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's Mario enough. Mario adjacent.
That was my closest thing to Mario. I don't remember if they always do this. There was some announcements. I was at least surprised because I clearly don't remember if this is an announcement day, but they did announce a few things. First off, the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remaster, remake, whatever it is coming out May 23rd. So they got a release date.
Did we have a date before?
I don't think we had a date.
Okay.
Luigi's Mansion 2 HD is out June 27th. I don't think we had a date before that either. They announced some more games coming to Switch Online as of, I guess, 2 days ago of this recording. Specifically Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis from the Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the biggest bit of news was that another Super Mario Bros. Movie is now in production once again with Illumination, with a release date of April 3rd, 2026. There was actually two tweets. I'll just read the tweets here. This is from Nintendo of America that start, "This is Miyamoto," which is just always very funny. It's like,
I packed the mainframe. Yeah.
It's just, it's like your dad signing his texts. We are now creating a new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. This film is planned for release in theaters on April 3rd, 2026 in the US and many other markets and throughout the month of April in other territories. We'll let you know the details once we're ready to share more. This time, too, the staff at Illumination and Nintendo are working together. We're thinking about broadening Mario's world further, and it'll have a bright and fun story. We hope you'll look forward to it.
Yeah, all right. Sure.
So what do you think? What characters are getting added? We get Wario.
That would be really weird, but I could kind of see it. They probably bring Bowser back no matter what, right?
Because
Jack Black was such a hit.
I think they bring every character back.
Yeah. I could do without Donkey Kong, but that's fine.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't want to hear Seth Rogen.
I could bring them back. I mean, so, okay, I can't remember if this is like, if they retconned this. Is Wario still Mario's cousin?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Wasn't that the bad version of Mario, right?
Isn't he? I don't know, maybe. I don't care about Mario lore. I just think those games are fun.
This is just a quick Google. According to an early 1990s Nintendo guide, Wario was Mario's childhood friend.
Oh, that's still weird.
Afterward, it was stated they were not related to each other. Oh, where did I get cousin from? I don't know. Other people are asking. Here's a Reddit post.
I don't know. It was said somewhere along the line.
Wario seems like an obvious one. Were Yoshi's in the other one? Yoshi in the first one? I feel like we saw like a stampede of Yoshi.
I don't think so.
Crazy? No, Yoshi wasn't there? Okay, Yoshi's a super easy one.
I don't think
one.
So. Yeah, that's a super easy one for sure.
Birdo? Did they put Birdo in there?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they go karting. That would be
fun.
Well,
karting was in the first one, so more karting.
Only karting.
What? Maybe he plays some more sports in this one or something.
Yeah.
Just kind of bring in the other Mario games. I don't know. Yeah, Wario makes sense. Daisy makes sense as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you could add that.
Was Toadette in the other one? I could see that being an easy one.
You could add Bowser Jr.
Yeah, sure. Who do you get to voice Bowser Jr.? You got Jack Black as Bowser. So who do you get for Bowser Jr.?
Do you get an actual voice actor this time and not just a big name, I wonder? That can do like a fun Bowser Jr. voice.
What about Ben Schwartz? You know, he's doing Sonic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to make the crossover movie really interesting when he has to talk against himself as Sonic. Yeah.
Well, you just don't put Bowser Jr. in that one. I don't know.
Yeah, you just kill them off before.
People in the chat are saying it was like a 2 second part of Yoshi Stampede with an egg as an after credit. So that means that's Yoshi's definitely going to be there. Yeah,
confirmed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
I could see Wario. Yeah, more and more I could see it probably.
If they get Matt Berry to play Wario, it'll never happen. But that would be the actual most perfect thing in the world. Next news story here. Multiverses is actually coming back.
Yeah, I saw something about this, and then I saw a bunch of people say, like, fuck them for, like, taking people's money and stuff before and then canceling it or whatever. So we'll see how this is received.
I'm more looking at it like, I find it super interesting. Like, how often does a game go out there? They put it out
and then come back.
They put it for sale and then they literally say, like, we're going to take this offline for like a year and fix it.
Yeah, it's especially weird because of Warner kind of taking down a bunch of other shit.
Yeah, that's what makes it like really surprising is like you would think they would just be like, nah, let's just axe this. Let's stop putting money into this. But it's actually coming back, which is pretty crazy. Weird. It's also getting updated to Unreal Engine 5. So they put like serious work into updating this game, which people I was positive about this game. I feel like the general consensus was pretty positive on Multiverses. So,
yeah, people were mad that it left. Also, I think the only thing you said negative about it was the battle pass is terrible for it. And that was
They did during when it was out was they made it harder to level up your characters. So it would take like more gaming, more grinding to get the unlocks for your characters. So that was just, you know, kind of shitty of them.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I just think from like, I'm just so shocked that they took it down, actually put the time in that again, Warner Brothers like believed in them enough to do this for a year and then they're putting it back out as opposed to trying to like fix the plane while it's flying as most games would have done it.
Yeah, it's weird. I was not expecting to see that come back.
Honestly. I'll probably jump back in and see what it's like when it gets come out. I'll play it for a week.
Sure.
Okay. Earlier this week, the Spider-Man multiplayer game, I guess pitch trailer, leaked. Did you watch this?
I did not.
So it shows a bunch of different Spider-Man. They all kind of look the same, but with like the different suits. Like it's definitely like they didn't put a ton of work into this, just more showing the concept. Spider-Gwen's there, but it just kind of looks like Miles with like the feet, you know, Spider-Gwen's suit and blah blah blah. You don't actually see much like team combo stuff or anything like that. It's just more like, look, there's four Spider-Men swinging around the city right now. Imagine like what that would be. And it was going to be this. So this, for the record, was canceled. This is not coming out. Part of me wonders, like, did someone like leak this to get excitement so that they could be like, huh, I told you we should make it. It was going to be called The Great Web. It seemed like it was going to be kind of like a multiverse thing because of all the different Spider-Men coming together. I think this would have been real cool.
Yeah, it would have been
Spider-Man neat. Like co-op, like why not? But anyway, it's not going to happen.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest stream has been announced. We're finally beginning to see the summer game event, you know, fake E3, you know, because E3's gone. It is
gone officially.
It is not. Yep. There's no word of one happening this year. I still think someone will try and do something with the name maybe a couple E3 years down the line. But Friday, June 7th is when the live stream will be happening. They're doing it in person this time, so people can go to the theater if you're in LA and watch it. And then this Kotaku article also mentions that Play Days is happening, which is their in-person event. I've attended the last 2 years. Is happening. They have it June 8th to 10th here, which is 3 days. That it's usually a 2 day. So that would be Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I don't know if that's a mistake on Kotaku's part. Or if they're doing 3 days now. But That's cool. Hopefully I will get to attend that as well. I'm probably not going to go to the show on the Friday. I'll just watch
on
that.
The 7th.
Yeah. I don't need to go to a theater to watch that. I would love to go to Playdays again. Those are always a lot of fun. They usually give us free food truck vouchers, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure we'll be hearing about more summer events the week before, the week after, just and then you'll kind of make up your fake E3 just like last year. Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Crown, one of the best games from 2024 that you still have not played, for the record.
There's a lot of best of games for this year I haven't touched yet, probably.
They put out a roadmap for DLC. The first update is coming next week. I didn't realize that. So in March, there's like four chunks here. The first three are free. This first chunk that's happening in March is going to be a speedrun mode, a permadeath mode, which sounds awful, and then new outfits.
Okay.
Coming in spring of this year, also a free, is going to be a boss rush mode and new outfits.
Okay.
In the summer, another free update is going to be new combat platform and puzzle challenges, and then basically new items to equip as well as new outfits. And then most interesting is later in 2024 is new story DLC. This one doesn't have the free tag, so they're probably
right.
Obviously, this one's going to be paid. Also, this one doesn't say if there's new free outfits.
Oh, shit.
It does say more details coming soon, so maybe they'll put some free outfits. But if you're not going to play these first three, I'm not. I'll have three content drops of free outfits to enjoy when I purchase the story DLC. So I'm excited. More story DLC. Absolutely. Give me another chunk, maybe even kind of two chunks. I could see that. I would easily pay. I'd pay $20 for two chunks of that. I would do that.
$20 for two chunks. Sure.
I think so. I think that seems like high considering the game was $50. So I bet they do 15. That's my guess. 15. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
This next one, just a bit of a PSA. Noclip, one of my favorite video game related documentary YouTube channels. They recently put out a video this last week explaining, for those who don't know, they've been developing their own little indie game. And then within the last like 6 months or so, they've been trying to find a publisher. Obviously, that's very hard right now with all the industry layoffs and kind of condensing that's happening. And they have kind of a fun, nice, like behind the scenes of like what that's been like. We talk about industry layoffs all the time and this kind of stuff. We were specifically talking maybe a week or two ago about how just a lot of the money has been like dried up for a lot of games, specifically indie games. This is a nice kind of behind the scene first person perspective of it. So if that's of interest to you, check out the Noclip. I guess it's the Noclip Crew YouTube account, because they have a few different YouTube network.
Cool. Okay, gotcha.
Announced earlier today, Twitch is going to be getting rid of the Prime Video Watch Party feature.
Right. Yeah. They were saying that people have kind of stopped using it. Like, not many people use it as much anymore.
Right, yeah. So it says it's going to be leaving on April 2nd. We launched watch parties in 2020 to offer streamers a way to enjoy Prime Video content with their communities. While some streamers incorporated watch parties into their streams, usage of watch parties on Twitch has declined over the years, so we are removing it and investing these resources into other features.
Yeah.
Kind of a bummer. This has always seemed like something I would enjoy, but I just never took the time to set up and do.
Yeah, I mean, it was bullshit because Canada didn't get half of the shit, so it didn't work for me anyway, so I don't fucking care at all.
I mean, that's what you get for living in Canada. You're only going to get half of any content shit, so that's just how it goes. And it's going to be more expensive than it should be.
That's true, but I'm less likely to be drafted for a war. So there's
absolutely that. And like, you get free healthcare. I'm not saying I'm in a better situation. I'm just saying when it comes to content, you're going to get the shaft 9 times out of 10.
I mean, I still have the content. I just don't get to watch it with random like splooger 69 on Twitch or whoever the fuck is doing.
So what you're saying is you don't get the content.
Well, it depends what the content is, I suppose. Yeah.
All right. And then also announced earlier today, I guess broken earlier today, is Embracer has officially sold off Saber Interactive. This was rumored about a week or two ago. It seems like multiple companies are trying to get un-embraced right now. And or another way to look at it is Embracer is trying to find some like fast cash and ways to like lower their headcount outside of all the layoffs that they've been doing. Embracer owns kind of like, I don't know, half the video game industry at this point. And Saber's one of like the largest kind of like umbrella corporations that kind of owns a lot of publisher developers. Saber's actually is also bringing along 4A Games, which has the Metro series, Zen Studios. They do Zen Studios presents pinball. There's also word that Gearbox might be trying to break out as well, or looking for another parent company as well. That has not been confirmed or is not a part of this, but that was that part of the larger people seem to be trying to get out of Embracer.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, Embracer has sold off Saber Interactive, the group which is home to studios 3D Realm, Slipgate, Ironwork, and more for $247 million. And then Bloomberg, Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg added on, if you incorporate 4A Games and Zed Studios, it's closer to the $500 million that they reported last week. Definitely interesting to see just how dire things are getting, especially for people who are doing the purchasing. I feel like, you know, we're seeing a lot of news stories of this person's getting acquired, this person's getting acquired. You're not seeing a ton the other way. And when you are, it's more on the smaller thing of like, hey, Toys for Bob is now independent. But not like all of Saber Interactive in it. Like, let me just look up Saber Interactive to see like what they have access, because they're huge.
They are. Yeah.
Okay. Subsidiaries of Saber Interactive: 3D Realms, Bitex, DigiPictures, Fractured Byte, Madhead Games, New World Interactive, Nimble Giant Entertainment, four different Saber City. No, sorry. Five, six, seven different Saber City, Sandbox Strategy, Slipgate, Ironworks, Smartphone Labs, and Stuntworks. And if you know, you can break into like what those ones are doing. Slipgate, Ironworks, Ghost Runner was one of their bigger ones most recently. Actually, that's Rise of the Triad a long time ago.
Yeah.
Daymare 1998. Remember that one?
I do. Yeah. Because they released 1994 Sandcastle, I think, last year, and I still haven't got to that one yet.
Nimble Giant did Rocket Arena. They did Star Trek Infinite. There's some of the bigger ones. Man, is Rocket Arena still around, or is that, did they shut that down? I feel like that got shut down.
I think they shut it down. I think it got shut down pretty quick, too. Like, it didn't last very long. Kind of like Foam Stars is probably not going to.
It lasted for about 3.5 years. Little under 3.5 years.
Really? That's really impressive.
It was delisted from digital storefronts in November of last year.
You know what? Good for them. Yep. That's awesome, because I thought that thing was dead a month in. Okay.
Yeah, I played that for like a weekend when it came out, and I thought it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess we'll see what continues to go on with Embracer, if we're going to keep hearing their name or not. Weird year for games, for sure.
They are keeping some of the bigger things from Saber. So, like, because I know the new Metro thing is coming out, and they're still going to own the rights to Metro and whatnot. So, who knows? We'll see.
4A Games doesn't retain Metro?
No. They're keeping 4A, I believe. They're retaining 4A. Like, they're keeping the big stuff. They're getting rid of the small things.
Oh, because the tweet here is saying Saber is actually bringing along 4A Games Metro. So bringing them out of along with the sale.
Oh, weird. Because he has another tweet that said Bloomberg's post is misleading, and then talks about how they still have Metro in like that same thread. So I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Maybe they took the developer, but Embracer kept the IP.
Maybe, I think maybe they bought the IP out from them, because he's saying that they're keeping Metro, which is kind of one of the bigger things. So it makes sense that they would want to. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see. All right, let's do some questions. If you want to send in questions, it's topdownrespective@gmail.com, at TDP Podcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box. So this one comes from Matthew. You're driving on a highway when you get stuck in a traffic jam. You are now forced to drive at about 5 miles an hour, and you will get past the jam in 30 minutes. However, you are right next to an exit and can take that to get around the jam. The detour is filled with stoplights and stop signs, and the speed limit on the whole detour is 30 miles per hour max. If you take the detour, it will take 30 minutes to drive past the jam and re-merge into the highway at the exact point the jam would have cleared up. Mm-hmm. In both situations, you will end up at the exact same spot on the highway in the exact same amount of time, and neither choice will impact your overall travel time. Do you stay on the highway or take the detour?
Detour. Just mentally, it just feels better to be doing something other than holding your foot at 5 miles the whole time.
Interesting. So I think what the key to this for me is the fact that I know I'm going to enter and end up at the same spot.
Right. So it doesn't matter what you do.
It doesn't really matter. And I think that's kind of what does it. Because if I didn't know, then taking the detour, there's a chance I'm getting ahead. There's also a chance I'm getting further behind, but I don't know. But yeah. Because I do know, I think I stay in the traffic jam. Because then it's just like less work to do. And like, if I can, like, if the I'm sure the jam is like stopping and starting, but if it's like kind of crawling, that's I'll use less gas than stopping at the stop signs.
I mean, I would rather stop and go 1,000 times than crawl. I hate crawling. It just feels like, I don't know what it is. It feels like claustrophobic or something to me. Hmm. Like I'm stuck in the situation. So I would rather go stop. I think part of it too is like, if I take the detour and something had happened and I needed to get like somewhere, I could at least turn around or find my way out of, because when you're in a jam, you're kind of just stuck there.
You're stuck there. Yeah.
I know like the situation doesn't call for that. It's, you're always going to be whatever, but mentally I think I would always take the detour.
I mean, it also depends what kind of vehicle you got. I've definitely been in like my dad's truck and we were on like a twinned highway and it's like, he just drove over the grass because we needed to turn around.
Sure. Yeah, sure. There's that.
Not that I'm saying is that's a good idea, but it has happened before.
Yeah. Suku writes, have you ever made a bet involving money at a video game tournament? Allegedly. So any FBI listening doesn't arrest you. No, I haven't.
I have not.
I've definitely taken salty bets. You remember salty bets?
I do remember salty bet.
I've taken part in that, but like that's just like points or something.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think I did anything besides watch a bit of salty bet, but I was about to say I've never even like considered betting at a video game tournament. It's pretty rare I'm at a video game tournament, to be fair, though.
There's that. Yeah.
All right, Dead writes, congrats, Gabriel has made you three in charge of the curriculum for every single student in the United States, K through 12.
God.
What changes are you making? Thanks for doing the show every week.
Oh my God.
K through 12, what are you doing? How are you going to enrich these kids' lives?
I don't particularly think the education system is any good. That being said, I don't know
what I would do. So you have a lot of ideas then?
No, I don't know what I would do to change it, honestly.
You just know it's bad.
Yeah. I just know it probably could be better somehow. Because anytime I think of like you could get rid of this, there is like a reason why you would probably want to keep that thing. Just to like get children thinking in specific ways, and like a lot of classes that seem useless teach you problem solving and like how to get through them. Other classes, like, it's important to like know about the past or whatever. Like, I don't know, every class seems like it has a thing.
Okay, here's some, based on my grade school, here's some things I wish my school would have had.
Okay.
Mandatory. Most of these are, I'm going to say mandatory because like you need them growing up. Okay. I want a home ec class. You need to, where they're going to teach you like some basic cooking, like how to sew, they're going to teach you like,
yeah, what, life skills. Yeah. Yeah.
Taxes and stuff like that.
We did have a mandatory class where you had to learn how to like look for an apartment, make a budget, taxes.
Oh, that's awesome. We did have nothing that. Like that. Nothing even remotely close to like that.
We didn't have like a mandatory home ec. That would have been good though. That would have been good.
Even stuff like explaining how like retirement funds work.
Yeah.
That would have been, sure. Yeah, that would have been crazy. Making the budget. That's a good one for sure. Absolutely. Sex ed class, like that wasn't just like the teachers doing the bare minimum because they don't want to be there.
That was mandatory for us too.
Ours once a year, the gym class would do health for the week, which would mean you would get like 2 to 3 days of health class.
Oh.
And it was like the most bare bones, basic ass thing. And it was usually just about STDs, and like that's about it.
Yeah, that's true. It was just about STDs. That's very true.
But I'm saying like serious, like how bodies work and stuff.
Gender, like a biology class or something.
Every gender learning about both, like learning about each other and whatnot, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, more life skills stuff for sure. Let's say you can do a life skills class, which is literally just one class that does everything you're talking about, but it's the full year or whatever. What one class do you cut so that it fits in?
I mean, I think you cut like calculus or like some high level math. Like, well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not cutting it. They're not a requirement. Much like, and here's another thing I was gonna say, much like how like after grade 10, at least for my school, you don't have to take gym class anymore. I also think that needs to be changed. Mandatory gym class and it's like actual, like we're going to teach you how to go to the gym and like almost making it a kinesiology class of like how muscle mechanics work.
Because then you could also teach like first aid. Like first aid is super important stuff too.
I mean, I think that goes in home ec.
Well, it's more kinesiology, I would say, learning like how to not, I guess it's kind of somewhere in the boat. Yeah.
Like, I think part of home ec, there should be a whole thing of like, here's how to set yourself up with a first aid kit. That here are some like basic medications you should always purchase and have ready to go. Here's what you should take when you're traveling for travel medication, stuff like that. But to go back to your initial question, like, what do you cut? I think you just make things more optional. And it's like, no, I don't want to take a, you know, 30 level science. I'm not going into science, so I don't need to take it.
Yeah. I think after grade 7, you cut math because at that point you don't the like higher stuff. Like you said, like I know trig because it was beat into me.
I see. I don't know trig.
I never fucking use it. So yeah. Like, why is that in my brain?
Yeah.
So
someone in the chat saying French, screw French. I actually think like the mandatory language,
another language is really good.
Would be cool. Cause like as someone who's so into travel, it's just going to open up so many more doors for you.
I think you should be forced to take another language because I'm mad that I'm losing Spanish. Cause I don't have family members that I can talk with regularly anymore.
Sure.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I've started watching like Spanish speaking Twitch streamers to try to keep some of it. And I can't keep up anymore. Like I feel it going away.
I'm trying to think some classes that like I don't use like any of it at all. Yeah, it's mostly just like anything high level that is not in my field.
High level math is useless.
High level math I'm not using. High level science I'm not using. To be fair, I stopped science after grade 10 because I was not interested in any of the sciences. High level English I had to take. High level social studies I had to take. I'm not using any of that. Like maybe the English for some like writing component stuff.
I think English is important just for the writing stuff. Like you said, I think that stuff will always you could even pivot and make it. So now we also teach how to like give a presentation properly or speaking in front of a lot of people, like life skills. Right.
Well, I mean, that could be in any class. You're going to have to give a presentation properly, right?
Well, you would think. Yeah, you would think so. Yeah.
Someone in the chat says it's not mandatory to learn a second language. Growing up for me, it wasn't, but I hear, I think they changed, like, my old high school and stuff. I think they changed it. That it is now mandatory, French, but I'm not
until grade seven.
Talking to that many teenagers these days, so I don't know for sure.
We had mandatory French until grade seven, and then we didn't have to take it anymore. We also had mandatory religion class at a Catholic school, and that shit is bullshit.
That shouldn't be allowed. Absolutely.
That should never be allowed. That's fucking garbage. Okay, Rasterman7 writes, some needed context for the question. I'm guessing I'm in a football group where we organize matches every week, sometimes even if it rains or storms. The last three times that happened, I really did not have a good time, not only due to it being cold, but because three people got injured, myself included, one of which was a goalkeeper with a broken wrist. Jesus.
That's insane.
Today, that's insane. Today, we have a match again, and it's been raining since yesterday very heavily. So, I asked for the match to be suspended. Justifying my claim with what I just mentioned, yet the other members of the group called me chicken and told me that I should better find someone else to play as my substitute. Have you ever been in a situation like this, and what do you recommend doing? I'll edit this later with the aftermath. P.S. These people are my coworkers, so I see them at least two times a week. P.S. number two, one of the people that called me names managed to get a substitute. P.S. number three, somehow, it stopped raining just a few minutes before the match started, and my former team lost by a landslide.
Go figure. Well, they clearly needed you there.
If you hurt all your fucking players, maybe, like, it's probably hard to win if your goalie has a broken wrist.
Yeah, this is nuts. First off, like,
yeah,
the other members of the group called me chicken. So I was like, okay, so everyone in this thing is, like, 15 years old. They're my coworkers. Okay.
Yeah, no, Rasterman is, I think, early 20, like, adult age. So yeah. This is insane.
Because my first thing is, like, stop playing with these people. This is nonsense.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
They're your coworkers. That's a bummer because you are going to have to see these people again. But it's like, these are clearly, like, bad people. They are, or I should say, they are a low-quality people.
These people are fucking douchebags, honestly. But, like, they're pieces of shit, honestly. Fuck them. Don't find another group, make your own group.
Yeah. I haven't been in this exact scenario, but if I was with this scenario, like, I don't have enough free time to hang out with people I don't like. I wish I had that much free time, but I instead choose to have hobbies that bring me joy. I recommend you do the same. This is a football group. I'm assuming they don't mean American football.
No, I'm pretty sure they mean soccer.
It's not going to be hard to find other people who are into soccer. Go join a different group. Maybe play for the team that destroyed your former team. They seem better.
Totally.
just at soccer.
Totally. Or play more video games.
Well, hey, there's a balance, man. Sometimes you gotta run around and kick the ball. I totally get that. This is crazy. And I totally get, like, the not wanting to play when it's rainy out. Like, you know, I play Ultimate Frisbee these days. When it rains, I don't like getting soaking wet. And those guys will go play Frisbee. And it's like, all right, have fun. I'm going to do something inside. Like, go to the gym or something. Yeah. Go rock climbing or something. Like, this is ridiculous. Good on you for not breaking your wrist. Breaking your wrist sucks, as I can attest. Sure. Just go find some other people who like soccer. It can't be that hard.
Yeah.
And when you see them at work, I don't know, like, just be, you know, try and be an adult about it and be like, hey, I'm just trying to get my work done. Can you please leave me alone?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, realistically, the thing that you can do is when they say you're a chicken, just, like, ignore them.
Yeah. Just because leave.
You're, like, an adult.
Exactly. If you're an adult, you, like, you do not need to hang out with these people.
Yeah, exactly.
Hebrew Lantern writes, when getting dressed and putting on socks and shoes, do you do sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Sock, shoe, sock, shoe, or the ADD method of put on a sock, watch a 20-minute YouTube video, then another sock, then browse Twitter for a while, then find where your shoes are, scroll through TikTok, find your shoes again, go back to YouTube, put on a shoe, scroll Twitter, find your other shoe, and then realize your socks aren't matching and start all over.
I never am putting socks on only because I need to put shoes on. Like, I'll put socks on, then pants, then shirt or whatever. Like, I get fully dressed. It's not like, oh, I don't have socks on, I need to run to the store, so I'm going to quickly do that and then put shoes on.
That's true. It's pretty rare I don't have socks on. If I'm in bed, I don't have socks on. Like, I sleep without socks on.
Sure.
But once I wake up, of course, I'm putting socks on. The rest of the day, I'm going to have socks on, unless I'm in the shower or something like that.
I'm glad you and I are of the same mind on this, because a lot of people have the opinion that, like, oh, I will never wear socks if I can help it. And I don't understand that personally.
I think it also might be, maybe it's like where we grew up, like a climate thing. If you're in a hotter area, I could maybe understand not wanting to put socks on or something like that. This is just tangentially related. If you wear shoes inside, I think you're a monster.
Totally. Again, what the fuck? Take them off.
Again, I think it's like where we grew up kind of thing, because in Canada, that's not really a thing. In the States, it is absolutely a thing. And those people are crazy. It is.
Yeah. It's crazy. You're crazy if you do that. Sorry. That being said, if I had to do it, I would do sock, sock, shoe, shoe. I would put both socks on first and then the shoes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
If I had to. Phantom Magus writes, ahoy, TDP crew. What's a food item that you love but most don't enjoy? This is easy. I've talked about it a million times. Love black licorice. Most people hate it.
Oh, that is a good answer. Yes, black licorice is terrible. I don't know if I have an immediate answer to this. I can think the other way around, that I don't like it, most people do. And I'd say like tomatoes, but.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I can't do
tomatoes. See, I love tomatoes, but I don't like ketchup specifically. I think it's the sugar and tomato paste combination.
Yeah, I can do ketchup. Yeah. It's fine. I'm rarely picking it these days because of how sugary it is.
Yeah.
Food I love that most don't enjoy.
You like really intensely spicy stuff. I think a lot of people
I would not say really intensely. I like spicy, but I definitely am not picking like the spiciest thing on the menu. I have friends that do that. Oh, really? And I wish I was like that, but nah.
I was under the impression you do that. Okay, my bad. I didn't know.
I would do it as like a, yeah, let's find out. But as a, like a, oh, I'm gonna make a meal for myself, I'm not making it crazy spicy. I'm putting some hot sauce in there, though.
Like, I know that you like hot sauce, and I know that you have had, like, the, what the hell is that show called now? The hot ones, like, hot sauce or whatever, so I was under the impression, it's like, yeah, I'll just put the bomb on everything.
No, absolutely okay. not. Absolutely okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm not doing the one chip challenge every weekend. That was one nightmare I don't need to live through again.
Okay, so it's more of like the challenge mode sort of thing. It's not like I will enjoy this with.
I don't even know if it's like I need to prove to myself how much of a man I am. It's more just like, hey, here's an experience. Let's see what happens.
Right. Okay.
And sometimes, but it's not like forcing yourself to vomit.
Yeah. Right. That's true. There has to be a food that you love that most don't enjoy. Are you a seafood fan? There's a lot of people that don't like seafood.
I'm a little picky with seafood. I'm like totally fine with fish, but I'm not a big like shellfish fan.
Okay, I think that's pretty normal. I think a lot of people aren't shellfish fans specifically.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like into crab and lobster, and I'm not. So.
Oh, so it'd be the opposite way.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I eat like hated stuff really.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of things people hate.
You know what mine might be? Mine might be more like I'm pretty good at eating like the exact same food every single day for years. And a lot of people cannot do that. But like I've had a toasted peanut butter sandwich for breakfast since I was 18.
Okay. Sure.
And I definitely know some people where that would drive them insane.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything like else that maybe. Do you like pineapple on pizza? That's somewhat divisive.
I like it. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite pizza is Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Hawaiian pizza with jalapenos. There's a place near me that does that. That's the best.
For some reason, I thought your favorite pizza was just like a straight cheese, but I think that's John. So
that
I might
seems
have just
like
gotten mixed
that
up
seems
in
like
my
John.
Head. Yeah, I might just got that mixed up in my head.
Haze Hero EX, how long do you think you can go without using Google or any other web search tool?
I mean, I spent over half of my life without the internet and Google. So
I don't think I
could. Or I guess at this time, not.
I use it for work. I don't think I could do it. Like, I need to search up images and videos and stuff. I don't think I could do it. I might be.
Yeah.
If I like really tried, maybe it could get like through a week, but it would definitely make things a lot harder for me.
Yeah. My problem right now is that I'm in the Google like sphere of stuff because I have and now Samsung, but Pixel originally. So all of my stuff was through their store, whatever. I use Gmail for everything. So I would have to restart all that stuff, but like, I don't just go to Google and search things generally.
I think the spirit of this is like searching on Google because I Gmail. I can't just turn my email off for, I use Google Docs. I can't just turn that off for a week. So I think it's just the specific searching.
The web search.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could probably go years without having to search something.
Wow. There's no way.
Everything that I do at my work that I have to search, I literally have to go through books that are published by like IATA and stuff. Like I can't use Google for that shit.
I have all 20 of them here. Honestly, the World Encyclopedia. My mom got me.
Honestly, kind of. There's so many fucking manuals that are just issued, and every year there's a new version. It's such a racket.
That's ridiculous.
It's such a racket. Final question from VGC Kenny. What game would you remake if it came along with the stipulation that there's a 50% chance it will be amazing and usher in a golden age for that game / series, or a 50% chance it will be abysmal and put that game / series into the ground for good, or at least a long time? I want Rayman to come back. Those games are fun.
Okay. And you don't like Rayman enough that you don't care if you're killing it?
That's kind of it, is that if I kill it, better luck next time.
I feel like, you know, the easy answer is picking something that's kind of been gone, but that's kind of, I would say that's almost against the spirit of the question. Like, it has to be something that's kind of like sputtering along a little bit. Cause like my question is like,
okay,
burnout, but we haven't had a burnout game in forever, especially if you don't include the remaster of Paradise.
How do you feel about like Max Payne or something like, Alan Wake did so good. Let's bring Max Payne back.
They're doing the remaster right now.
Yeah, so it could be bad or it could be great. Who knows? That's
a good one, sure. Yeah. I'd be pretty shocked if that game was that bad. Like,
yeah,
you have such a strong skeleton already, and now
Remedy's
like, oh, now we're gonna make it into the Remedyverse.
And maybe more importantly, it has nostalgia from a lot of people that will just sight unseen check it out. Like, what about something that doesn't maybe have? What about Bubsy?
Okay, here's mine.
Okay.
Pokemon.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Because right now, in my opinion, it's just kind of sputtering along, doing like the lowest it possibly can to get by. I would love for it to hit some incredible highs again. But if it died, it's like maybe good. Because, like, come on.
I'm a little scared because this is kind of happening. Silent Hill 2 is getting remade.
Okay.
And it will be things. It might be one of the things that's like, oh, this is incredible. People love Silent Hill again, or people didn't buy this. They're just like lambasting us on everything. Konami shutters Silent Hill for good after that. Well, like, it might actually happen.
Isn't there like three other Silent Hill things happening like right now?
Yes. Yeah, so it's they're trying to bring it back. So we'll see.
Someone says Splinter Cell. I like the idea, but again, it's been gone for so long. I feel like it's kind of against the spirit of the question, because if it goes poorly, you're just back where you started. No, so you're not actually losing anything.
Yeah. Totally. Yep. I agree.
I could see Metal Gear. Really, like, that's been close enough. I guess
Delta's coming out.
Yeah, so that's true. So Metal Gear might be interesting. Although he's making another one. So we're kind of about to get that.
True. Yeah.
Part of me wants to say Rock Band, but it's already like done, so I'm not losing anything if a bad Rock Band comes out.
I think Pokemon's a good one, especially because that's a game that like I don't necessarily care if it dies to me, but I would love to see it thrive in a way it hasn't.
But the unique and sad thing about it is even if I hit the 50% chance for it to be abysmal, it's still going to sell more than every other Pokemon game ever.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, the black-pilled against Pokemon for sure. No matter what happens, it's just going to make
somehow
going to
be the best-selling Pokemon game to date because there's new people who want to play it and yada yada.
Totally. Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for questions. Yep. If you want to send in questions for next week, topdownperspective@gmail.com, at TDP Podcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's PO Box. Do you have a game of the week?
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Rebirth as well. Thanks everyone for listening. This week is GDC for me, so I'm going to be playing a whole bunch of upcoming demos, which I'm pretty excited about. And I'll have all that to talk about next week. But until then,
nice.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.